St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter reports on a new art exhibition in St. Louis that features a feminist figurative painter, photography, provocative portraits of African Americans, and a 60-foot mural project.
Last Friday, CAM, the Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis, opened its spring exhibitions. Executive Director Lisa Melandri, thanks for promoting spring and joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I think we're ready for it, don't you?
Absolutely.
You have chosen four artists. They're featured in the spring exhibition. And I want to start with the first one, Dina Lawson. I think she's based in New York. And her presentations, they show the black body in unusual ways.
She's really an extraordinary artist. We are so delighted to have her here in St. Louis. This is an exhibition we'd been working on for quite some time, and it's really wonderful to see it brought to fruition. She's predominantly known as a photographer, and what you see in the galleries is photography. But it is a kind of very special and unique look at portrait or figure photography. And I think the most striking thing about the work is that you get a sense of who these subjects are, who the sitters are.
Because they're usually in their own homes, aren't they?
Yes, they're often in their own homes or in environments that are close to where they live. And you really kind of get a sense of maybe who they are from that, these different moments in there. But I think the thing that's the most incredible is you get this very candid feeling look, but in fact, they're so meticulously posed.
They're sort of intimate. I'm looking at one now that I want to talk about for just a moment. It's a photograph. It's taken, it's like a small living room. It's kind of crowded with big furniture, but there are a lot of draperies and patterns. And then there's someone on the couch, and I want you to take it from there.
Sure. So this is a piece called Otisha, and I think what's really extraordinary is that the sitter has decided to pose nude. And we found out that she's actually a dancer, and she has this really striking pose, which is that she's leaning on the couch, but she's a perfect sort of straight line that she makes with her body. And she's surrounded by an interior that, you know, could be taken in a lot of different places. And one of the things that Dina was talking about was how much her own upbringing sort of in the 70s in Rochester, New York, informed the way she looked at things, the kind of couch, the plastic on the couch, the kind of patterning on the draperies. There's a big tiger that's on the rug.
It was almost the furnishings and the things in the room that made me wonder about who she was as much as the image of her actual self.
Yes, there's no question about it. I think what ends up happening is you're curious about where these people live, where the photographs are taken, and sort of who they are. And I mean that in terms of socioeconomics, in terms of neighborhood. Are they in a city? Are they in the suburbs? What is their taste? And so she really does kind of reveal who the people are by where and how they're photographed.
And I want to make a point, too. You mentioned that the subject happens to be nude. But
yes.
It's not what you might be thinking at home. It's not salacious in any way.
No, and in fact, it's a really interesting thing. There's a lot of her subjects are nude, but they are – it's just sort of like a vulnerable intimacy. And yet, I will say that the other part about it that's really interesting is they're always really looking at you. And so you get this sense that these sitters are completely comfortable with their bodies. And even though this could be, you know, again, vulnerable and intimate in some ways, that they have an extraordinary empowerment.
I don't know how well you've gotten to know that artist, but what is she trying to do?
Well, I think there are a few things that are very, very simple about the work taken as a whole, and that is she believes that there is extraordinary beauty in the black body. And she is really, through this kind of looking, probing through photographs, trying to show what that beauty is. And so it's not just a physical beauty. It's about, again, a kind of self-confidence. It's about a way that people carry themselves. And she's also really interested, I think, there are many images that don't just have one sitter but have two. So you see relationships between people. And she's also trying very much to give you all different kinds of views of kinship, family love, romantic love. And they're extraordinarily celebratory.
And one thing that I think is important about Dina Lawson's work is she travels to certain specific geographical places for a reason to take these photographs.
So she had said from the beginning that her inquiry, her project, is to take pictures of African Americans and members from various places in the African diaspora. So she's very, very interested in black subjects. And when she won a Guggenheim Award or fellowship, it allowed her to begin to go to different places. So you also find many works that are taken in places like DR Congo or Jamaica or Ethiopia. And in all of those specific places, she's been very, very interested in trying to find both the differences and the commonalities between people.
And a couple locations in this country as well.
Absolutely. So she's, you know, Brooklyn, which is where she is and is based, but also places in the Deep South. She just did a recent shoot in a place where she's been a great deal of time in Alabama, which yielded a couple of brand new photographs that are on view at CAM that have never been seen before.
Another one of the artists that you're now featuring in these exhibitions at the Contemporary is Nicola Tyson, and this is her first major museum exhibition in this country?
Yes, we are so excited to be able to bring this work to St. Louis. I think Nicola is a really interesting artist in that she's certainly someone who has shown her work a great deal, not only in this country, but around the world. And people have collected the work, but we are the first venue where you can see this one-person show.
And she also, like the photographer we were just speaking about, sort of focuses on the human body, but she does it on canvas, of course, and in interesting interpretation.
Yeah, so one of the things I think is such a nice compliment to Dina's work is when you think about photography, you're thinking about what people look like, right? The capturing of them. And Nicola's inquiry is a little bit different. She is very interested in something that she coined the term many years ago called psychofiguration. And what does that mean? It means that rather than just painting a picture of what the mostly woman subject looks like, it's painting a picture of what that woman subject might feel like. It's about kind of looking inward to their experience and the way that they have lived and trying to portray that in these drawings and paintings and works on paper.
I'm looking at a self-portrait.
Yes.
Can you explain that to me?
Yes, absolutely. So it's, first of all, I'll say that there are many works in the show that are self-portraits. And as I was saying, none of them really look like Nicola. But instead, they are these kind of abstracted images of figures. And they're sort of turned inside out. You know, you're not sure if you're looking at, you know, the exterior of a face or what might that model be thinking of. So in this particular self-portrait, it's a self-portrait with friend. And there are two figures, both of whom are sort of abstracted and interacting strangely. But the one thing that you can often find in Nicola's work is if you're trying to figure out whether it's a self-portrait or a portrait of someone else, you will find something that alludes to red hair.
Ah. So. But you have to pay attention.
Yes, exactly.
Sort of surreal feeling,
yes,
to it all,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And in fact, she does a great deal of drawing, and she talks about automatic drawing, which is something that we think of as both belonging to kind of the Dada and the surrealist, the sense that you get something out and put it down on paper without letting your mind get in the way so that you avoid contrivance.
Mm-hmm. And some of her work, at least, is sort of large scale.
Yes. So many of these paintings are actually quite large scale. She has also done some ink on paper work that is pretty much life size to the human figure. And then there are many kind of graphite on paper drawings that are much more intimate in scale and that she often shows in series.
How large are these exhibitions?
So the exhibitions, Nicola and Dina are both in what we call our main galleries. So for Nicola, you know, you're probably looking at approximately, you know, 35 works of art in between the works on paper and the paintings. And for Dina, there are 14 photographs, and they're pretty kind of mid to large size in scale. And as I said, what's really nice is that we have a few that have never been seen before. Mm-hmm. So it really gives you a kind of new look at what she does.
Well, Lisa, you mentioned your exhibition walls there. Tell me about the project wall.
Yes. Well, this is really exciting. We have one wall that separates one part of the museum space from the other, and it's approximately 60 feet long. And we have always talked about how fun it is to think about that as a site-specific possible commission for an artist. So we've invited Catherine Bernhardt, who's a St. Louis native, now based in New York, to come and paint directly on that wall. And so she has made an extraordinary mural called XXL Superflat Pancake, which really celebrates color and sort of graphic qualities of things. And she came in town down and, you know, painted it directly on this wall. So she was here doing this kind of mini residency.
Well, what does the pancake refer to?
Well, I think what's interesting about her work is she's very, very engaged with this idea of flattening, right? This graphic quality of flattening things. So whether she's painting, you know, bananas or a light bulb or a cigarette or a plant, they all have a totally flat graphic quality, which is something, you know, we even think about Super Flat is the name of a movement and different collectives of artists who work in this graphic way.
And she looks like she, I don't know what her background was, that she could have been a street artist or a graffiti artist.
For sure. So the images themselves aren't really related to what we think of as like bombing and tagging in graffiti art, but the process is almost exactly the same. She paints directly on the wall with spray paint in exactly the same way that you might think of any graffiti artist working.
I like her work, though.
It's fabulous.
In your press release, I want to quote how you describe it and have you explain it. You say, Bernhardt's work attracts the eye like painted wallpaper, unquote.
Well, the thing that's really, I think, special about this work is that in creating these sort of graphic elements, the most essential 2D works, she ends up making something that looks like pattern. You know, it looks very much like we think of as wallpaper or any kind of pattern. And in fact, she's done a lot of work where she's transferred her paintings into textiles, into a scarf or a t-shirt or a shoe. And so you see this kind of patterning resurface in the way that she combines very illogically placed objects, you know, that you wouldn't expect a banana next to a cigarette, next to toilet paper, next to a philodendron.
Right. Lisa Melandri is the executive director of Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis. And the fourth artist you're featuring is Lewis Cameron. He works in Berlin. And explain this. Every day, this gentleman points his cell phone to the sky.
Yes. So he's an artist who's been long interested in looking at one's surroundings, thinking about surveillance, thinking about the atmosphere. And so he thought it would be a really interesting inquiry to begin to look at the clouds, to think about what it is that the sky is showing us at any given moment. So he's made photographs that combine many different images taken from a cell phone, right? So it's, you know, the ultimately carryable object, right? And then he points them to the sky and then puts them together. And what we end up with are these photographs that document, you know, what it is that we look up in the heavens to, but that actually look like extraordinarily lush abstract paintings.
I want to ask you something before you do have an annual event coming up. I want you to be sure and share some details with, but I just want a little reflection from you. You had an exhibit that caused a little controversy, a talk, made a few newspaper articles, that sort of thing last year, because of the artist's interpretation of black people, I guess is a simple way to put it. Have you been reflective looking back on that? What are your thoughts now that that's behind us?
Well, I think like anything else, that moments like that are extraordinary learning moments to think about the power and the meaning that visual art can hold and how it can read and feel for different people. And I think that that's something that we very much want to think about at all times. I also think that, you know, we happen to have an exhibition program that changes so dramatically from season to season and has been predicated on having so many different kinds of artistic voices. So, you know, that was a moment. And I think that, you know, that artist really showed us how powerful artwork can be.
Kelly Walker.
That's correct, yeah. Yes. And that we need, as a museum and as an institution, to think about the ways in which art can mean, the ways in which art can make you think, can give you a different perspective, and that that can be inspiring, but it can also be painful. And I think that it was just an extraordinary moment for us to reflect on what it means to be an institution that shows contemporary art, knowing that contemporary art can say so many things to us.
Well, it certainly sparks some dialogue, and that's something we love about art, isn't it?
It is. It truly is.
All right. CAM has its annual event coming up. And explain, Lisa, you have to explain this to me. Why a museum is having an anti-art event.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. It's a little bit of a play with words and ideas. So every other year we do a Dada Ball, and it is based very much on the Dada movement that came to the fore post-World War I in the early part of the 20th century. And the reason that we use this as kind of a model is the Dadaists came together in a time where they had been reeling from a terrible, difficult, painful, violent, and unjust period, which was World War I. And they decided that the way through it, the way around it, and the way to get back to filling up one's mind and one's soul was through art. But they wanted that art to be anti-establishment, anti anything that had come before. And so we love this idea that art is primary, that art is the thing that gets you through, that art is what brings you together, and that art is inclusive. So it's a kind of anti-movement making anti-art. But the truth of the matter is, it was all about bringing creativity and making right to the very pinnacle of society and humanity.
Well, what kind of crazy evening is this?
Well, it's an evening in which there are, as you might imagine, all different kinds of entertainment. And that entertainment can take the form of visuals, it can take the form of film, it can take the form of music, but it's all surprising. It's all about a kind of feast for the eyes. It's also an evening where people, you know, probably both figuratively and literally let their hair down, and they can be whoever and whatever they wish to be.
Okay, what did you wear last year?
Well, the last one, I wore something, you know, my husband and I actually made our outfits, which is very Dada, you know, with, we did with spray paint and rulers and rips. And so there were a lot of things that would not have been doable without the DIY spirit of the evening.
Sounds like a great time.
It's wonderful.
Well, Lisa, looking ahead just really briefly, anything in the new year that you're looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to also what we have coming up next, all of the exhibitions, but it's going to be really great to have. We had Dina Lawson speak this past Saturday, but we're having one of the artists, Lewis Cameron, come back and speak with us tomorrow night. And then later in the season, Nicola Tyson will come and do a performance. So I'm really looking forward to having these artistic voices around again for St. Louis audiences.
We'll see you at CAM. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
That was Steve Potter speaking with Lisa Malandri, Executive Director of Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis. The museum's four spring exhibitions will be on view through April 16th, and its Dada Ball and Bash takes place Saturday, February 11th at the Palladium. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Spencer Reed, Colin Mueller, and Monica Ramirez. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis On the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.